Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome day. It's a day of celebration. We had three baptisms in the early service and a couple testimonies, and we had a little errors, and didn't this service we didn't have any testimonies in a sense of pauses, and we had no errors. They all were perfect. You guys are amazing. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, God's good. It's good to be with you. So good. God is amazing. And we are in this incredible day of celebration and the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ. This day in history is the day that while he was here in his earthly ministry, he actually was proclaimed for who he is and who he was and while he was here. And so this is a day in history that is awesome. It's a day when the world in that moment recognized who he truly was. And it's a day that we get to celebrate with one another in celebrating who he is and what he's done, because God is amazing and he is so faithful to us. This coming Friday, as we've going through this Holy Week, believe it or not, it's crazy, isn't it, that as we celebrate resurrection next Sunday, the Easter season will be upon us, and it's been traveling so quickly, and here we move forward again, and this week is called Holy Week throughout the world, and I'm so grateful for this week and what it means to us, because you see, Christmas means nothing without this. Means nothing. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong, but Christmas does not exist if it wasn't for this. The full work of God is before us as we look at this, that he came to live as one of us, to give a sacrifice we could not give for ourselves, as he lived as a human being, sinless, living in the Father's will by the power of the Holy Spirit in his own life, to be the sacrifice for you and I. And this Friday we gather together at 6:30 p.m. to have communion. That day that we call Good Friday, because it is that amazing goodness of God that he would come and do such a thing for us. And we need to pause and recognize that. If you can't be here, please join us online. We will have communion. If you're at home, please get yourself a couple things to prepare, like some bread and some kind of juice. I mean that in a good way. We don't ever serve anything alcoholic here just because we have a lot. Not just because. We don't, because we have a lot of recovering people. And it's just a grape juice is what we serve. Do whatever you want to do at home. Just be faithful to what God's calling you. And let's do that communion time together this Friday at 6:30 p.m. is when we'll be gathering. And then next Sunday, of course, man, we come together all around the world to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have, man, he's awesome. It's crazy that 1 year ago, this coming Easter is when, you know, we had shut down for COVID and all that, and we started. But it'd be amazing to watch God moving in this service and the transformation that's happened in you guys as we worship together, and it's been fun. Thank you. Seriously, it's been amazing, and God's moving, and it's great. We're going to be doing the two services next week, 9:15 and 11. We're not starting another service. We're not doing anything unusual in the sense of worship service. We're just celebrating Jesus like always, but in between services, we'll have a continental breakfast kind of thing. I don't know what all is involved. Out in the courtyard. There's going to be coffee shop, of course, but come on in, hang out for a little bit. Y'all need to come early, right? If you're going to be a part of that. Otherwise, you just get the leftovers, which, you know, it's up to you. All right? Yeah, usually the service is over by 10:30, so if you could be here at 10:30, you could be first in line, because I'll probably hold them a little bit. All right? All right. So, anyway, we're looking forward to it. Today is an amazing day, and I'm super excited about what God's doing, because as we get ready to step in, we're going to step into right where we were. So at the beginning of service, if you're here, we played a video at the start, and it's Mary waking up Lazarus. So I do love, you know, biblical movies. I do most of them, not all of them. But most of them, like, use their poetic license, and they don't stay true to Scripture. And so that's a problem. So make sure you don't rely on Hollywood to produce your gospel, because the Word of God is truth, and it's there for us. So not making fun of that thing at all. It was a great message that was in that. But the truth of Scripture, we'll find out in just a minute, is Lazarus didn't sleep through the triumphant entry. He was part of it. All right? He was absolutely part of it. As Jesus rode into the city, he was there. And so even though that was a great little story thing, truth is he was wide awake. And he was part of the procession, and it was part of what God was doing. So we talked last week about this, and a couple of weeks ago we're talking about free will, choices, sin, how sin impacts us, even if we're Christians, that this world that we live in is damned because of sin, because of us, And as a result of that, sin impacts us even if it's not living in us. So when we are redeemed, when we are Christians, when we're following Jesus, sin still has an impact on our lives, even if it's not coming from within, it's always coming from without, because we live in a sin-stained, broken world. And as believers, we have been given something that the world doesn't understand, and we're trying to proclaim to them, which we'll talk about today, is this life that is only available through Jesus Christ, which makes life worth living, even in this broken place. And we can enjoy it, and we can love this life in Christ and what it is and what it means to us. So let's do it. So today, as we get ready, we're going to pick up in a couple of the verses we read last week about Lazarus, the family. All of them are coming out. You remember he loved Lazarus. He loved Mary, Martha, the family. There was two sisters and a brother there. And he's come back. Lazarus is dead. They're standing outside the grave. The people that were in the, you know, the wake and all that stuff that took place after the funeral, because Lazarus had been dead 4 days, they all saw Mary run out to the tomb. It's because Jesus was out there and she got a message. So everybody comes. So now what we did, we just moved a wake of after the funeral service out back to the graveside. So everybody comes up, and this is where we're reading in John chapter 11. You ready for that? Let's do it. If I can probably turn on my thing there, and we'll do it. Jesus says, "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Just pause for a second. If you were here last week, you remember we talked about how our faith is strong in the presence of Jesus. And then in the face of death, sometimes our faith begins to be troubled. And when we spoke about that last week, I said, come around about Wednesday, you're probably going to get a few drifts of death, right? Because we are out of church. They've been facing Monday. Then we face Tuesday. Now we woke up Wednesday. And the waft of death sometimes comes through. And now our faith is a little bit iffy. Well, here we are. Come on, man. We're right here in God's presence again, and God's calling us to see life in the midst of death. And so as we look at this, here it is. We're going to keep reading. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven. We're just going to right now, okay? We talked about prayer a few weeks ago. Prayer is in the Bible. Yes, Jesus at times spent the whole night in prayer. It was very rarely that happened, but it did happen. But the majority of the prayers in the Bible are pretty short. Yeah. All right, so I want you to see this prayer of Jesus that raises the dead. Get it, folks? Here it is. It says this: Jesus looked up to heaven. So he didn't fold his hands, close his eyes, and bow his head. He didn't whisper under his breath. Listen to this. This is Jesus' prayer. As this begins, it says this. Jesus looks up to heaven and says, "Father, I thank you for hearing me." You always hear me. So I'm going to make Jesus' prayer a little longer because I'm stopping. Just going to let you think about this for a minute. Jesus acknowledges the fact that God is always present and always listening. And he knows what's going on. Just pausing for a second to let you know he always hears you, not just when you pray. So he knows your conversations. He knows what you're saying, why you're saying it, and everything we do, he knows. So here we go. Let's go back to the prayer, and I won't stop again, I don't think. Let's see what it says. "Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." That's the end of the prayer. Isn't that awesome? Prayer's over. It's like what? Like two sentences? The whole prayer. And it's not even that he's going to say something profound in his prayer to God to make God raise the dead. He's saying, "God, you already hear me. You know what I'm saying. I know who you are. You know who I am. We're doing this for everybody here." Yeah. "Lazarus, come out." That's what happens. See, the prayer's over and Jesus just says, "Hey, Lazarus, come here." And the dead man came out. His hands and feet were bound in grave cloths. His face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Just pause for a second. I have a great imagination. I lived there most of my life. Before Jesus, I was always in a fantasy world of my own making because I didn't like reality. But I'm grateful for my imagination now, because when I read God's word, man, it just comes alive and I'm seeing it right here in front of me. And so as I look at this whole thing, I'm going to give you Dave's, you're going to get a glimpse inside my mind here for a second. You ready? Don't be scared. It's okay. Let's check this out now. I see Jesus. I see a whole bunch of people. And I see people when the stone rolls away, they're holding their nose. Because it does smell. I've been dead for 4 days, man. And I see people like, what in the world is going on? Why are we doing this? Could have been here already and we wouldn't have to deal with this. 4 days ago this happened. Yeah. Then I hear Jesus shout that, Lazarus, come out! And everybody's like, did you notice he shouted? He didn't want anybody to miss what he was saying. Lazarus, come out! Here you go. Everybody's standing there. And he's wrapped in grave clothes, man. He's like a mummy. His face is covered. You know, all of a sudden, this image comes out of the darkness like that, just like moving along, like Lazarus is being obedient, but he can't move hardly. So everybody's standing there like, no way, man, you know, like nobody's doing nothing. Jesus is like, unwrap him and let him go. What are you doing? He can't breathe, man. His face is covered. The whole thing, right? You've seen mummies. That's him coming out. Like, unwrap the dude. Let him free. It's all happening right here. I mean, just be one of the crowd for a minute and think about what you're looking at, what you heard, what you just experienced, what was happening. And it's like, dude, that guy just called him out. I know, I saw it. They unwrap it, and sure enough, it's Lazarus. You know, people probably were waiting to see who it was under the cover because they just saw him dead. This is for real, man. This is real. And they're like freaking out. Now listen to what the Word of God says. We're going to go back into the Scripture, what God's Word says right here. You ready? Mapping. Many, but not all. What in the world? When I'm looking at that, and I'm reading this, and it says many believe, and I'm like, what in the world? You mean not everybody? They just watched this dude waddle out of the grave. They were at his funeral. They smelled him. They knew he was dead. And still they didn't believe. I'm watching this. I'm like, Lord, what is wrong with us? We always doubt stuff. We think there's something else going on behind the scenes. Like, Lord, what is happening? Not everyone who saw this dude come back to life believed. Part of the funeral service, everything. But yet, nope, not me. What do those people do? Listen to what it says in the Word of God. This is sadly the way people are, right? Listen to this. It says many believed. Now it says this. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Yeah. We're going to go tell on the dude because he raised the dead. We're going to go let the church leaders know that something just happened out here that they need to know about. It's a little odd. It's a little off. It's not normal church stuff. We need to put an end to this. Then the leading priests and the Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. Do you hear the confession? Something's happening in our midst, and we can't deny it. So what are they going to do about it? If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. And then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. What in the world? This is a revelation of the true heart of the spiritual leaders of the church of the day. And this is what we look at. I want us to pause here and grasp this because it's almost like incomprehensible. That here are these men of God, and that's what they were to be, teaching the Word of God, and that was their life calling. And they had taught about God's amazing gift that was coming in the form of a Messiah. And they had taught these very people that were out there now with Jesus that there was one that was going to come. And now as we look at this, instead of looking at the possibility that God's Messiah was upon them, they were more worried about their position, their building, and their nation than what God was up to. So, we're going to pause here because many in the church of today, in this United States and in this world, are more concerned with the events of the world, the condition of our nation, and how what's happening out there is going to change my life than we are about a move of Jesus Christ. Church leaders are talking about the political climate, the social climate, the issues of the world. We're not calling people to repent and turn to Jesus, which is the answer. But we're more worried about our position, our place, our security, and the life that we have come to love. Rather than a move of God, rather than facing the fact that Jesus Christ is in our midst and he's calling people and showing them who he is and that the world does not have the answer. And yet many in the church think that the world has the answer. I'm talking about the church here, remember? I'm not talking about the world. They're already hopelessly confused. God's word tells us that. But many in the church are focusing on everything other than Jesus. And he's the answer. Now we look at this and it's like, man, what is going on? You know, this could happen. We might lose our position. We may lose our building. Our nation might fall. Maybe, just maybe, church, God's up to something. Just, I mean this very respectfully, so don't mishear me. Maybe, just maybe. Let me think if I should say that. God cares more about people's souls than the freedoms that we experience in America. I know that's tough. I like my freedom. I love the easy life we've been blessed with, and we have an easy life. I mean that, and I know that. But I also see a spiritual climate across the world and especially in our nation that has grown distant and cold to the gospel. And God's heart is for lost people to come to know him. And the awakening that needs to happen in the church. It can't happen in the world if they don't know who he is. And they're not going to know who he is unless we proclaim him. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, man, that's what it is. He's the answer. Man, we look at this, it's like, why isn't Jesus the most important thing we do? Why isn't he the focus of everything? You don't want to know how to end racism? Preach Jesus. Yeah, seriously. You want to know how to end all the social issues that we have? Jesus. You don't want to erase the confusion over sexuality? Jesus. Guess what? It's always him. It's always been him. It'll always be him. And until we in the church begin to proclaim that message, the confusion of the world will continue to spread. And many in the church themselves will remain in confusion because they don't even see Jesus for who he is. He is a life-changing, life-giving Savior. We cannot be with God in relationship with God without him. We can't fix things without him. He is the answer. Man, it's like, why in the world do we in the church and pastors across the nation and across the world and our crazy universities, and I'm talking about seminaries, not the public ones, that aren't even acknowledging that the word of God is truth and that Jesus is the answer? What is wrong with us? Church, we are the ones that need to awaken. It is us that needs to be called out of the grave. It is us that needs to be unloosed from the grave clothes and begin to proclaim with a loud voice, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to lift our voices, man, and let the world know it's all about Him. Man, He is amazing. Seriously. All right. So last week, this whole resurrection of Lazarus takes place. And there's a stirring that's happened in Jerusalem. It's happened in Bethany. People are believing in Jesus, and there's all kinds of commotion happening because, guess what? It just so happens to be Passover. Man, God, you're awesome. I'd like to keep you here for a week and talk to you about this, but I won't, I promise. Man, when you look at the Passover and the perfect timing of God, the bringing forth of the sacrifice, and man, you know, people that don't want to believe the Bible, man, wake up and read it. It is amazing how God put this whole thing together. So check it out. This is what's going on. The unfolding of the triumphant entry. This proclamation of Jesus and who He is. So obviously there's a stir happening. We've already had a bunch of miracles take place. The chief priests and the scribes, those that are denying Jesus, have already declared with their own mouth, a lot of stuff's happening. It's supernatural. It's not human. It's not normal. Something is definitely happening around this dude, right? So everybody else is out there, not everybody, but the majority of people are like, He's the one. He is the Christ. It's happening. So here it is in John chapter 12. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, so He's on His way from Bethany. Remember, we read it last week. It's just a few miles away. Jesus starts on His journey coming towards Jerusalem. They flocked to see Him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. There it is, Hollywood, right in the Word of God. Yeah, Lazarus was right there with them, like, woo, I'm alive. It's me. I was dead. And Jesus is there, and everybody's like, dude, check it out. That's Him. That's the guy I was talking about. I was at His funeral, and He got called out, and that's the guy who did it. Right? That's what's happening. And people are, like, coming out in droves because they want to see this actual, factual event that took place that they'd never heard of before. Continuing reading in the Word of God, then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too. For it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Oh, I thought it was about the nation and the building. Oh no, it's about people following you. Yeah. No wonder things are screwed up. How many followers do you have on your social media site? It's like, who's following who? It's like, what is this all about anyway, right? It's like they lost their, you know, position of importance. People aren't looking at me anymore. What's wrong with you? You know, I am still who I am, and you should know me and follow me. Uh-oh, people are finding that there is a relationship with Jesus available to them personally, and they don't really need a priest. It's like, uh-oh. Ah, oh, it was because of him that many of the, oh, we had targeted someone. It's Lazarus' fault. Yeah. If he was dead, this stuff wouldn't be happening. Let's kill him. Let's remove the evidence of God. Crazy, isn't it? So here we go, church. It's a little time out again. You're probably used to me doing this, so we're just taking a time out for a second because I want us to see something. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received forgiveness through Him and you have a relationship with God the Father, that means you are a born-again Christian, you're a Christ follower, you're a believer. All those terminologies we use, right? If you are that, you are a witness of Jesus Christ to the world. And therefore, the world, the devil, and all that is evil wants you dead and out of the way. Yeah. See, because of who you represent in the world. The enemy hates Jesus and he wants him removed. He wants us removed because now we are a witness that he is who he says he is. So they were like, let's get rid of the witness. That's why when we're followers of Jesus Christ, we have conflict in the world. When you say yes to Jesus, you are going against everything the world is all about. Therefore, church, we are naturally, as born-again Christians, countercultural. You can't deny it. You're not going to be okay to flow with culture and be walking with Jesus, because immediately there is now a conflict of God's truth versus the world's truth. And therefore, when we are called to Christ and we say yes to Him, well, there's going to be opposition. I warned those that we baptized, and someone told me before I should put a little flag of warning up here. Guess what? A battle's coming. Go in the water, come out, and get ready to face it. Because you know what happened? Jesus in Matthew 3 was baptized, and immediately after he's baptized, and the voice of God speaks in this amazing moment. This is my son whom I'm well pleased. Everybody's like, wow, man, that was God talking. And the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness alone, fasting to be tempted by the enemy. See, this world is in opposition to everything that is holy because of sin. And so as we see this man, why is it that we in the church, now let me rephrase that, why is it that sometimes as Christians we wonder why we're going through hard times? Why is it we think there's opposition against us, there's struggles going on, or this or that is happening around us? Of course it is. God tells us this all the time in His Word, man. Stand for truth and you're going to be persecuted. You stand for Jesus and the world's going to hate you. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They called me the prince of the devil. Remember, Jesus is saying this. What do you think they're going to call you? Friend? Man, come on. All right, so enough of that. The enemy wants to take us out, just so you know. Let's get to the point. He wants to take you out. He wants to stop your voice. He wants to stop your light from shining. But Jesus wants us to stand up and be recognized for who we are. He's so good, isn't he? So they run out there. They decide they're going to kill him. All these things are going on, and this is what's happening then. As we skip forward in the scriptures, I think I had that on there twice or something anyway. As the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city, a large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him, and they shouted, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Isn't that awesome? So here's Jesus coming in. He finds a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, I'm reading from John 12, by the way, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." Pause. Not me. John, in writing the scripture, takes a time out. He's like, this is what was happening in the streets. Jesus is riding on this foal of a donkey, and branches are going down, cloaks are being thrown, they're hailing him as the king. And then he says his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, but after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered. Okay, so God's up to something and they're kind of clueless. They're participating in something God's doing, and yet they don't even fully get what God is up to. And yet they knew the scripture. They did. They were taught it. Isaiah had prophesied and said, "Behold, your king's coming. This is how you're going to see him when he rides in. He'll be on not just a donkey, but the foal of a donkey." That's the baby, unridden, just strolling down through the streets. You're going to know it's him. Isn't that cool? So here's what's happened. Even though these things were written about, I'm gonna take a timeout from John's timeout. Did you follow that one? Two steps back for a second. Yeah, hopefully you're not too confused. All right, so here we go. See, it wasn't until after the fact that they realized that the events they were in fulfilled prophecy. Yep. Just a thought here. This is Dave interjecting something, and I'm going to say it's always clearer to look back on prophecy than when you're in the midst of it or looking forward to it. So now they look back and they're like, dude, that's exactly what we were doing. It's right there in Isaiah. I learned about that as a kid, and we were part of that. And it's like, wow, that's awesome. I just happen to believe that probably most of future prophecy from today forward is kind of like that. This is Dave talking to you. My personal belief is that it's like happening, and some things are probably happening that we're clueless about. Yeah. And we really don't know what we think we know. Yeah. Until we look back, and then it's like, oh, that all makes sense now. Yeah, I get it. While we're all doing it, we're like, woo, 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 in the moment. But God's doing something. That's all I'm saying is God is up to something, and we may be clueless in the moment, but don't worry. He'll show us. Just relax and trust him. We don't have, can I just help some of y'all that are stuck on prophecy? You don't have to figure it out. Don't stress. It's going to happen. God's going to do it, and it's going to happen the way he said so, not the way you submit. All right, so we just trust him in it. Let's just go on now. That wasn't a rebuke. That's a gentle, loving correction. Let him fulfill his prophecy, and let's follow along and see how it happens. A lot less stress that way. All right. It's always clear looking back, right? So as we look in the scriptures again, I'm going into John 12, start jumping up to verse 17. Many of the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. They were telling others about it. So they're like, yep, it's him. It's him. He's the one that did it. That's the dude that's alive. So this is what's spreading around, right? So there's like this chaos, this noise that's coming forth. They'd heard about this miraculous sign. And the Pharisees said to each other, nothing we can do. Look, everyone's gone after him now. So they're stepping back from the scene. Now, instead of going out and stepping into, when you read the scriptures, like there's something amazing going on right here in our streets, right here, present. Instead, they retreated back. And if you follow along in Holy Week, you know, they regrouped in the back in a little huddle and said, look, I mean, we got to stop this. We're going to kill him. Now, as we continue in the story, Jesus comes in. This amazing celebration is happening. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. I think it's cool that this states that there, right? These aren't just all Jews that are following God and understanding what he's called us to. There's Greeks that were there. Those are like Gentile people. Like maybe you're not Greek, but it's us that's represented here in this moment, and it's pretty cool. They came to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. They paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it. Philip and Andrew are brothers, if you don't know. And they went together to ask Jesus. So again, I'm going back to Dave's imagination, and here's Philip and Andrew. It's like, I know there's a lot going on, Jesus, and there's like, this crowd is crazy, but I got some people over here that want to talk to you. So here's Jesus' response. It's pretty cool. Now you got to get it all in the context of what's happening. Jesus replies to them, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Man, that is like a powerful response, but it's also kind of crazy. It's like, hey, these guys want to meet you. And Jesus is like, look, everybody needs to meet me. But here's the deal. When you come to meet me, you got to give up your life. This isn't just a, hey, how are you? I'm Dave, and you're Jesus. Yeah, cool, nice to meet you. He's like, wait a minute, that's not what this is all about. What I'm calling everybody to, this is Jesus talking, you got to die to yourself to have a relationship with me. Just shaking my hand and meeting me, that ain't cutting it. You got to die. It's the end of your life. It's all not about you anymore. It's all about Jesus. This is his own words. He's telling people, he's telling us, if we want to serve him, if we want to be called Christians, if we want to be believers, followers of Jesus Christ, hey, folks, it's not about us anymore. It's all about Jesus, and all about me needs to die. Okay, so as I consider that then, I think about the church of today. We're going to bring the leaders of the church through seminary, and what we're going to teach them is what we've learned from the business world. Now, please don't be offended. Hear what I'm saying. When you go to the place you're going to be serving as a pastor, you need to have a vision statement, these core values lined up. You need a purpose statement. You need a mission. You know all this stuff, right? Which is what the world has taught in the business world. You got to have all this stuff so you know who your audience is. You need to target who you're after. Yep. Okay, pretty easy. Just going to tell you that every lost soul is who we're after. Okay? I don't care what color they are. I don't care what socioeconomic group they're in. I don't care where they live. If they're lost, they need Jesus. They're the target. Okay? That's pretty simple. Although we're not taught that. Instead, what we're doing is we're taking a business mindset and we're bringing it forth into the church, and we're telling the leaders of the church, you need to have a plan. You have to have it all lined out. You got to figure it out. You got to build your team so that your team knows how to execute your vision, your mission, and your purpose. Now, again, no offense intended here. We need to hear this. Jesus has already given it to us. I don't need to create anything, right? So we have some of that stuff. Radiate, Reach, Restore is right there on the banners back there. Guess what that stands for? Radiate the love of Jesus Christ, reaching the lost and the saved to restore them into fully mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's our call. We didn't have to put it in these words like RRR and all that stuff for us to do it. We did it. What's it all about, folks? Guess what? If we changed our vision statement, come and die with us. Follow me to your death at CFF. Put that bumper sticker on your car. Right? This is it, man. This is our message to the world. And I mean, how many of you are you going to share that with your friends? Right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's your social media message today. Come die with me next Sunday at CFF. You know, and it's like, what in the world? But the truth of the matter is, that's the gospel. He's like, I'm calling you to death, man. I'm not calling you to life. You're going to experience life when you die and get out of the way. See, Jesus said these things. God warned us in his word. He's like, look, my ways are far above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. The world doesn't get that death equals life. And that's why these that were in a religious position were trying to save what they saw as their life. What was it that they were trying to save? An image? Acknowledgement by the world? A good payday? All these things, and they're like, I got to preserve myself. This is the way of life that I'm comfortable with and I know and I've come accustomed to. And Jesus is like, if you want a relationship with me, you're going to die. You got to, all that has to die. That thing about me has to die. It's not about me. So as we're looking at it then, it's like being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, being a Christian, is more than being excited about a miracle. Miracles can happen, but this is something I'm going to be really honest with you and saying, like, I've prayed, talked to God about this whole healing thing. I don't fully understand it. I don't. I'm being honest with you. Because I've seen a lot of it. I mean, I read it. You've read it in the Bible. It happens everywhere. And I know it happens because I've been involved when people have been healed. I know it happens. But it rarely happens. And then I begin to look around me, and as I see this, I watch, like, let's just say someone gets healed. And it happens at X church down the road today. And they go tell somebody, and everybody else tells somebody, then everybody that's sick and afflicted is going to run over to that church next week because they want to be healed. Yeah. Right? So we chase after miracles rather than Jesus. See, what we're looking for is fixing my issue today so that my life can be easier. And I really do believe that that's probably why some of the miracles aren't happening today. Because we focus on the miracles. Remember, Jesus was like, don't go tell anybody. And everybody's like, you got to come and see this guy. He can make you well. Right? I mean, it was happening all over the place. And that's why he was like, you know, they're going to miss the message, right? If they come and they're touched. But he had compassion. Oh, I don't want to see him hurting. I can fix this. Come here, you're better. You're better. You're better. You're better. And then people were just coming to be better. Anyway, just looking at it, and it's more than that. It's so much more than that. It's crazy that, I mean this in a really good way, if God did touch someone that we love and, like, raise them from the dead, and we're telling everybody about it, that at the same time we haven't told anybody about Jesus and what he's done for us, but we would tell everybody about what he did for them. You think about that. You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't we telling people about Jesus now? Look what he's done for you. He has taken you from death to life. He's given you the opportunity to have a relationship with God. That is something pretty amazing and should be talked about. But it shouldn't have to just be talked about. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, everybody should already know that by the way you're living, because you're no longer who you used to be or live like you used to live. You're different now because God has changed you and you have died and are in the process of further death. Yeah. Here we go. Those who live their life in this world will lose it. That's Jesus talking. Jesus isn't saying, like, you got to be miserable and hate your life to follow me. That's not what he's telling us. He's saying, you want to find life? It's found in me and me alone. That's it. Either find it or you're going to lose it. Period. The life of a true believer is a life that follows Jesus in every way. 1 John is my last section of scripture for us, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Okay, so, you know, a lot of Christians are like, well, I'm not sure if they're a believer. Well, I think God's word just told us, like, no, you know if they're a believer or not. Why? Because their life is different. They're living their life for God. There's something that has happened in there, changed. They're no longer the same. You can't, like, God doesn't call us to be secret agents in the world. He's not asking you to kind of go blend in with the world and every once in a while pop off something with Jesus in it. He's like, you're a light on the hill. You're a light in the darkness. People ought to look at you and say, there's something different about him, or whatever you may be. It's like God is doing something, and he's doing something in our lives, and the world should see it. And then when God gives us the opportunity, we share, it's Jesus that's doing it. That's what it's all about, man. So the life of a believer is lived in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and all about Jesus Christ. Which is the absence of Dave. So God is transforming me and he's changing me. Remember, we talk about this all the time, that maturation process where I come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now God is in a transformation process of making me Christ-like. Ephesians 4 talks about that. You know, as a child growing up into adulthood, immature believer, but hey, Jesus is in me and he's changing me. Yeah, so amazing, isn't it? Selfless life. A life that is focused on others. This is the life Jesus invited us into. I mean, it's the life that he lived. He lived in full relationship with the Father to do the will of the Father for the glory of the Father. And we're called to live the same way. A selfless life, an others-focused life, in the absence of me, the presence of God. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. So, as God's speaking today, are you here because of what you've seen in someone else? Are you here because you saw a miracle and couldn't deny it was a miracle? Are you here because, man, it's like a great atmosphere to worship God in this place? It is. It's awesome. We should. But man, this is personal. It's not about just being part of a group or seeing what God did for someone else. The whole point of this is that we are a follower of Jesus Christ personally, and God has touched my life, transformed who I was to who I am because of his power. Man, is God calling you to die to something today? If so, please come and put it to death. Surrender it to Jesus Christ right here on the altar. That's where things die, right on the altar as a sacrifice to God. I want Dave to completely die so that Jesus can be seen, man. It's what it's all about. How about it? Let's do it, church. The altar's open. If God's calling you, come. If you're living it, continue to live it. Whatever God's doing, let God do it. And let's be an instrument of praise and glory and honor for what he is doing, what he's up to, and the declaration of his power and presence. Amen. He's so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Truly, Lord, it's not about us. We just don't want to be here to cause a ruckus or make noise about Jesus, Lord. Truly want to serve you. We want to be your church. We want to be who you died to make us, Lord. Lord, whatever needs to die in me, I want it to die today. This week, as we live for Him, all about Him. God bless you. Thanks for joining us online. Thanks for being here in person. Excited about what God's doing. If you need to continue praying, please don't go anywhere. And if you're here for the full throttle patching, you know, make your way up here in the front. I don't know what happened to these chairs, but they need to get put back where we took them. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Have an amazing week with Him as we celebrate Jesus Christ every day. Thank you, Lord.